Good morning, everyone. My name is John, and I'm an addict. Thanks, Luke, for asking me to come and share some of my own personal experience, strength and hope for you today. And it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be asked to come and share at a meeting or a convention or a unity day or whatever it may be. For me, I find that a pleasure, and it gets me to hear myself say that I am an addict. And my experience is, you know, I picked up alcohol and drugs at a very young age, and they worked for me for a very long time. They really worked for me. Working for me was, I was always able to get out my head. And that was a feeling that I went for. Most times that I drank or took drugs, I always really wanted to get into that state. And for me, it really worked. And I wasn't brought up like that. I come from a big family in Glasgow, 7 boys and 5 girls, and both parents. And none of my brothers or sisters drank or took drugs. But I'd done it for a very early age, growing up in Glasgow. And I just stayed doing it. And it wasn't till later on that I really coming into the fellowship and learning really what was wrong with me, and to learn that I had an illness. I really had an illness. Call it drug addiction, alcoholism, whatever's best for you. When I came into recovery, the place that I came into recovery in Brighton, CA wasn't there at the time. I went to A and I went to NA. But I asked a man to help me with this program, to help me to get better than the state that I was in. And you know, my drinking and my drugging, I ended up in hospitals, institutions, and there was death as well in my environment, with the people, with my situations. And always under the influence of alcohol and drugs, always. And I never knew, and I really never knew that what I was suffering from. And I really believe that I suffer with an internal spiritual malady. I really believe that. I find that to be true for me, that there was always, before I picked up a drink or a drug, there was always something not right with me within. Always within. But I never knew that. But what I did know is when I took drugs, that thing went away, and I got out of it. So I continued to fix that thing within, in my case, alcohol and drugs. And you know, I share this many times that I think for me that the best condition that I like to get in when I'm like that is I like to have plenty of booze, and I like to have plenty of drugs, and I like to be just out the game. And that sorted it for me. It really sorted. I think I couldn't get anything to fix a thing that was wrong with me within, except alcohol and drugs. But at the end of the day, for me, alcohol and drugs had stopped working. And I really mean that I wasn't getting that effect no more. And by this time, I'd lost my wife, my kids, my home. I'd lost everything down to alcohol and drugs. And I really mean that, everything. You know, homelessness, just really low, flat. And I really didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do, because I'd always lived that life. of taking drugs, always, for a young boy. And what happened to me was, we hear about geographicals and stuff like that. I never really had any geographical because I wasn't able because I needed the next bit of gear or the next booze or whatever. So I never really got any places. But, you know, when my wife asked me to leave, I left and I moved into a room. You know what these, I moved into this room anyway and try to sell drugs and try to use drugs and stuff like that. And you know, just wasn't much cop. And then I ended up, I went out for the drink. And when I drink and I take drugs, I always end up in blackout, always. Always, that's what I drink and take drugs for, to get oblivion, to get really. But I ended up really crazy, you know, really paranoid and crazy. But I ended up, I like to talk about my very first drink and drug, which was in Glasgow. And I like to talk about my very last drink and drugs, and that was in America. And so in between it was crazy. You know what we are like when we're crazy. But my last drinking drug was in Brighton. I picked up my drinking drug in Brighton and I ended up quite crazy. And I ended up in a crack house in Harlem, a place called Sugar Hill. I ended up there in a crack house, smoking crack and just crazy, and it went like that. My last 6 months were quite crazy. I went all over America just using, didn't really see, went to a lot of places but never really seen anything except crack houses, I suppose. And I went from Detroit, Chicago, Lake Michigan, Canada, Alaska, Cincinnati, Ohio, Louisville, Kentucky, right down to the Gulf of Mexico, Miami. And I was in Miami and a couple of guys took me into the Winnebago and they let me watch this video of Dr. Bob and Bill Wilson. And I was drinking and using and I felt quite sad that these men wanted to show me this video. But I watched the video anyway and thought it was a bit of a sad story. But anyway, it went on like that for a little while. And then I came back to the UK after 6 months in America. And I'd never been away from my kids for as long as that ever. But I was away from my kids for 6 months. And when I came back to the UK, I really don't know what happened to me. But I'm going to try and explain to you what happened to me. When I was in America, I was in North America. I was living on an Indian reservation with spiritual people. And these people they took me in and they gave me breakfast in the morning and they used to say a couple of prayers and then they gave me lunch at lunchtime. And they used to say a couple of prayers. And then we used to have an evening meal at night time. And we used to say a couple of prayers. But I was always going out using in between. But something happened to me there when I started to pray with these people. And I don't know what, because I was using still. And I was brought up a Roman Catholic. I was an altar boy before I lost my way, so I done all that type of stuff. But what happened to me was, I came back to this country, in England, and I went to my very first meeting, and it was in there that I was told that you'd never ever need to pick up a drink or a drug, one day at a time, and that's been the way it's been for me since I came into recovery, you know. I learned that we have got a 12-step program that is really outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I learned that we have got a program. And you know, this program really works for me. And I find this program really simple. I don't find it hard. I really do not find the program hard. I find the program ever so simple. But I find life very difficult at times. But the program for me is fantastic. You know, the program is magic for me. And why me? Because it's me. It's me. Luke has asked me to come and share. And I'm going to share honestly with you what it's like for me, what happened to me, and what it's like right now. You know, I was a hopeless drug addict, and I came into recovery, and I asked a man, and the man I asked was an old Irish vagrant tramp of an alcoholic who lived in the streets of Brighton, and he came into recovery. He got sober, and this man died sober. He really died sober. And that was his bedside when he died. And Paddy was my sponsor. And Paddy's last words to me were, "Go and carry the message to them, John." That was Paddy's last words to me. And all Paddy really spoke about was the big book, The Alcoholics Anonymous, and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, The Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's what Paddy introduced me to. Paddy introduced me to get a home group. You know, I have got a home group. And I've had that home group. And I was the newest member in that home group. And the people in there, when I first came, they told me that I'm going to be all right. They said, "You're going to be okay." And in them days, they called me son. You know, somebody just came out in their car and came in and said, "Here's old John." And I thought, "Fucking hell." But they called me son, do you know what I mean? And I stayed, you know. And why wouldn't I stay? Why wouldn't I stay for what's on offer here today? You know, Paddy, as I say, I was introduced to a program that was outlined in the big book, The Alcoholics Anonymous. I was introduced to service. And since I've been introduced to service, right up until to this day, I haven't stopped being of service somewhere. I might not be a massive big hitter like other people and different, but I keep my hand in the fellowship. I keep my hand on the pulse in service. Because it helps me. It really helps me. It really helps me to stay here. I was also introduced to a prayer life. And I don't know, but see if there's anybody new here or anybody back from a relapse, welcome to the Fellowship of Cocaine Anonymous. You know, if you're new here or you're just in the door, welcome. Or else if you're just back, welcome as well, because I'm going to tell you that you really don't have to pick up ever again, one day at a time. And the thing is, we can do it for one day, and that's been my own personal experience. I know that we can fight the march for one day. So I was also, as a very new person, I was introduced to a prayer life. I haven't stopped praying since I started. Praying for me is my very first job in the morning. I get up out of my bed and I go in and I kneel down and I say some prayers. I really do. I say some childhood prayers. I pray for some people yet to find these rooms. I pray for people that are suffering. I pray for people that I want to pray for. That's how I start. I also say the step 3-7 and a loving prayer every single morning, and I read my literature. That's how I start my morning. I started my morning like that this morning, very early in the morning, because that's what I do. I have always done that, And I pray and I hope to God I continue to do that. I don't know what it's like to be in recovery and not to say prayers. I really don't know what that's like, because I say them daily, every day, and always have. I've brought men into my home, and they have said to me, new men, what's this prayer lark then, John? And I show them what I do. That's all. I just show them, this is what I do, and it's helped me. So I continue to do that. Prayer life for me is fantastic. And regular meetings, you know, I do lots of meetings. I've always done lots of meetings. And I learn all sorts of things about going to meetings and what happens in meetings and what happens to people that don't come to meetings and what happens to people that come to meetings. But I come to meetings for probably two things. I come to help myself stay involved in the fellowship, and I also come to carry the wonderful message that was carried to me. And it's as simple as that, you know. And I've also learned that we've got a port, you know, we've got a port. And I also learned, and when I came into the company, I never had nothing. But I learned that coming into the fellowship, that I put a little bit in for me, and I try to put a little bit in for the man that hasn't got it as well, till he can do it. But you know, recovery is unbelievable. And the thing, how is it unbelievable? Well, for me, you've really got to do this, really do it, to find out how good it is. You know, I wouldn't come here, I wouldn't do this if it wasn't any good. I really wouldn't. You know, I'll tell you, for instance, I got up this morning just after 5, and I done my prayers, I done my readings, I had a couple of cups of tea, I had a plate of porridge, I had a head shave, I had a face shave, I had a shower, right? And I knew I was coming here, and I got my serum, I put my stuff, serum in my face, I put moisturiser on, you know. I'm being honest. That's what I done this morning. I put the stuff on, you know, the bit on the sides where you just fingered it. Yeah, I done that. I get my best bottle aftershave, and I put a bit of that on. I get dressed to come here, because I can remember what it was like. I can remember the darkness. But it tells me to do this for me, and also to show the people that you can do this as well. You know, we don't need to sit in that darkness. You know, we can get well here. We can look after ourselves. We can treat ourselves. You know, I treated myself yesterday. You know, I'm very blessed. I live right next to the beach in Brighton. And I was able to finish my job at lunchtime and go into the sea on my paddle board and go out there and pray to God for the life of God. You know, I'm out in the water praying and having quiet time with my higher power of God. And that's a blessing. You know, I was out in that sea yesterday, and I say a prayer. I say prayers every day, and I learn different prayers every day, because I read from a book called the 12-Step Prayer Book. And every single day there's a different prayer. And there's a prayer in it for fishermen. And I say this, I've started to go back out paddling on my own. And I say this prayer every day that I go out paddling. And it's just a wee simple prayer, is, God, please protect me. Your sea is so wide, and my boat is so small. I've got a paddle board that width, you know. And I'm out in the sea, and it's choppy, you know. And I was out there, and I was blessed. I said, God, please protect me. And I'm out in my paddle board, and it was choppy. And I stood up as soon as I went out, and I never fell off my board. And that's good for me, do you know what I mean? Because everybody else was about me, were kneeling on their paddle boards, and I was able to stand. And I believe that was with God's power. That's what I believe, do you know what I mean? But, you know, recovery, you know. Try it for yourself. Get somebody that's really armed with the facts and ask them to give you some help and guidance. You know, you will really get what's on offer here, you know, and you will find out that the life that you can have. You know, I know what it's like early days to come into recovery and the things that we want, you know, especially that relationship, you know, I need a woman. You know that one, or else I need a man. I can remember that when I first came in and saying to my sponsor at 30 days, I need a woman. Really? I said, yeah. He said, okay, man. And then saying the same thing to him at 60 days, I need a woman. I said, really? And you know, and you go looking for it somehow. I don't know, but I did. I went looking for a woman, and I don't know if women go looking for men at 30 days or 60 days. But at 90 days, it's going to happen anyway, isn't it? Because you've got 90 days. You've been around a while. And at 90 days, still no woman. You know, and you think, oh. And then when you get the other key rings, you know, it's 9 months and a year. I'm a year now. Still no woman. And I've really done well because now I've got a flat. You know what I mean? I've got a flat. I've done the flat up. I've emptied the flat out. I've kitted it out. I've decorated it. I'm living on my own. So I think the best thing I can do is buy a 4-poster bed with lace curtains, because that sounds really good. And I do that as well, but get nothing to put in it. You know what I mean? And I say to my sponsor, look what I've got. I've got this. I've got the home movie cinema system. I've got the new, still, you know. And that's what it's like. You know, I have to get, what's up? What's wrong? And praying as well. You know, I'm praying for that woman. But she doesn't seem to appear. And then I'm going to all these meetings looking for her. And she doesn't seem to be in them. So I don't know really what's going to happen there. But you know, I get to about 18, and then I've got the 18-month chip, surely. So I've had enough now, it's not going to happen. 18 months, it can't happen now. And I go on my knees, and I say to God, because I'm still praying for the woman, and I go on my knees, and I say, thanks God, if it's not meant to be, it's really not meant to be, I won't get a woman. And that was okay. And I went to work, I can remember, and this is, I share this quite a lot, because for me, it's magic. And I went to work that day, and I come back. And some people in here that know me, some people that are in here was at my first meeting, their early meetings as well, and there's some people that's known me over the years coming here. But I went home that night, and I'm being really honest, I went home that night, and a tall, long-haired, leggy blonde knocked my door, and she's been there ever since. So really, be careful what you pray for and let go of. I really mean that. Be careful, because this is stuff that's really happened to me. And crazy stuff. So that's, you know, and I'm still in that relationship today, do you know what I mean? And that's 20-odd years, although I left a couple of years ago when I wasn't very well, and I left for about 6 months, and then I went home again. And I'm still there today. But you know, the recovery for me is very simple, as I said. But life can be really difficult. Work, children. You know, I've got 3 children. I've got 2 in recovery. I've got a boy 13 years in recovery. I've got another boy over a year in recovery. And I've got a daughter who's been in a relapse for about 12, 13 years, who's been abused by men, drink, drugs, all that type of stuff, and I'm powerless. So that's the stuff that I don't like. That's the stuff that I struggle with. That's the stuff that I get chewed up with. That's when I went to go plotting and doing stuff like that, but I try not to do that stuff. You know, that's hard, that's difficult. I've got a grandson. You know, that type of stuff is hard. And I've never been able to have a relationship with that daughter because she drinks and drugs and I don't. And that's just how it is. But you know, my life, I've got a cracking life because of Cocaine Anonymous, because of the 12-step program, and because of how I apply myself. You know, my partner was leaving me this morning to go shopping, and she said to me, "Oh, I met Scottish Gary on the bus the other day there," and she was chatting to him. And I said, "Oh, that's good." I said, "How is he?" She said, "No, he's okay." She said, "He was asking how you were." And this is from a woman. She was asking how you were, and she said, "Oh, John's really okay. He's really busy at work, but he's always busy at work, and he's working hard at his program." And I felt really uplifted when she says that to me, that I'm working hard at my program, because it is work. It's no, I say it's simple, but it's work. You know, this is for men, and it's for women. You know what I mean? It tells us that in the literature. You know, it's tough when it's tough, but nevertheless, it's simple. We get life-threatening things. We get really difficult parcels to deal with, but we deal with it somehow with a 12-step program, with a prayer life. We have in one-to-ones, we have in a sponsor, we're sharing responses, we're sharing, we're being honest, we're getting the stuff out, and that's my experience, you know, is coming here and staying here. But the life is completely different, you know. I'm going to share something, I don't think I've ever shared it at a meeting, but I'm going to share it today because it's been the hardest thing that I have ever had to deal with in my life. And I say that, you know, I lost a child many, many, many years ago. And I know that people lose children, and I've lost my parents, I've lost a sister. But, you know, I'm going to share this to try and give you how life can be tough. And with deaths and stuff like that, we deal with that. We do deal with that stuff. But I'm going to share this. And it's a bit of a downer, but at the end, for me, it's full of joy, you know. And it's quite a long one, and I'm going to try and keep it as short as I possibly can, because it is quite mental. About 16 months ago, we were in lockdown and vaccinations and stuff like that. I've got a partner, and we've got an older couple. Her mum and dad are quite elderly, and both of them got the vaccinations. And my partner went to get hers. She went to get hers on a Friday, and she ended up poorly. And I went and got mine on the Sunday. And hers was really, she had an adverse reaction to the vaccination, and a couple of days after that, she was rushed into hospital. Then they let her out. Then she was rushed into hospital again. She was rushed into the hospital five times. But what happened was she ended up having a stroke. Right? She was sitting at the table, and both of us were eating porridge, and it was falling out her mouth. She was having a stroke when I was talking to her on the phone. The medics, and they came and they got her and took her to hospital, and they brought her, got her into hospital, and different things like that, and then they let her back out. But she couldn't walk, she couldn't talk, she couldn't eat, she couldn't move. And the services came out and they adapted on my flat. They'd done the bathroom, they'd done the bedroom, they'd done the lounge, done the kitchen, done all that, and she developed this thing called FAS, F-A-S, foreign accent syndrome. She speaks to me with a foreign accent, and I don't know what she's talking about sometimes. And we went for lots of tests, and we've seen lots of specialists, and we've seen lots of consultants, and more consultants, and more consultants. But this is an adverse reaction to the vaccination. It happened as soon as she had the vaccination. And what's happened is she went and had some all sorts of different scans. But she's got an aneurysm in her brain. And I never knew what that was. And I looked it up. And it's a blood vessel. It's in the brain. And it can grow. And it can pop. And it can all sorts. But anyway, we went and seen these people, these specialists. And there's nothing they can do for us. But she's learnt to walk again. She's learnt to talk a wee bit better. And she can get washed, she can cook, she can do stuff like that. But you know, that was really tough. That was really tough. And I used to wake up. I still wake up most mornings about 2, 3 o'clock to make sure she's alive. And I still do that because I get fear. But you know, what I've learned is, you know, faith. You know, and faith is a bit tough. When you've got tough stuff going. But I really have got faith, you know. I really believe she will, and she is. She's a lot better now than what she's ever been, do you know what I mean? She goes to the gym. She goes to the gym with a stick. She hobbles and she's fucking, you know what I mean? It's quite hard to watch her going because she wants to build her arms up, her legs up, because she couldn't move for over a year. She just lay there. She couldn't do nothing. She couldn't stand. I mean, people come into that to help us. But anyway, you know, she's doing really well today. But, you know, the only thing that I have done is I've shared, you know, I've not shared it like this in a meeting or anything like that, but I've shared with people how difficult it is. And I used to cry quite a lot. I learned how not to cry when I was growing up. But I learned how not to cry. And I've cried quite a lot with this stuff. But you know, she's doing magic now. Do you know what I mean? And we don't know how that is. Do you know what I mean? It's just the process of how she is. But it really done my head in. It really done my head in. And although I'm saying that, never once did I think picking up a bit of gear or picking up a drink. I always went on my knees and always sought the power of God to help me in this situation. And for me, it has really helped, you know what I mean? It's really helped me in difficult times, you know? And I really mean that. But I wouldn't have been able to do any of this type of stuff without you people, you know? I really mean that. I couldn't do this. I go demented quite quick on my own, you know what I mean? I need people like me, people that are there, that will listen, that I can talk to. And I'm always, you know, I'll always be eternally grateful for the things that I was encouraged to do when I first came here. You know, that's the stuff. I came up here with Dave today, you know, I came up here with me and Dave drove up here. And I said, you know, this program, what, people, how does it work? And it does not work, you know. I'll take any man, and I'll show you what was shown to me. What was shown to me, I will show any man, because I know it can work for you. Do you know what I mean? I really know. I would put my life on it. I would. If you do the things that's really suggested, you will reap the benefit. You know. We know, you know, I speak for myself and the people that I know that have been coming here for a long time. We know this program works, you know. It really does. But I come from a place where I'm the cover. There's a lot of dispute with a lot of different people. It's working, it's not working, you know. They're back out there then, you know. I'm a guy that came here and I've stayed. No matter what, I have stayed. I've stayed through all the great times, all the difficult times, all the fun times. How long have I got left, Luke? A couple minutes later. Is that all? Just two. Right, so I didn't know. I thought I was going on for ages there. But, you know, the recovery, the joys, you know, I've travelled all over the world sober. Clean and sober. I've been to meetings all over the world sober. You know, I've been to meetings in, you know, lots of you have done it as well, probably. I've been to meetings in the jungle sober. I've been sitting in tree huts, coconuts, monkeys, the lot, all clean and sober. You know, we have a good life here if you put it in, you know. And you know, Paddy used to say, you reap what you sow. The more that you put in, the more that you get out, you know. If I put a wee bit in, I might get a wee bit. So, you know, addicts, you know what addicts are like? We want bundles, don't we, of everything, no matter what it is, don't we? I do, you know. I want in recovery. I really want this today more than ever, you know, because I want to live longer. I want to live better. I want to live healthier, happier, the spiritual. I want to try and get, you know, I say that praying and I do this and I do that, you know, I'm an addict like yous. I get up every morning. I make mistakes as well. You know, but what I will say, and I'll end in this one, is I did something, you know. There's one thing that I have done 100% every single day since I came here, and is I've not picked up a drink of the drug. I might have lost a plot here or there, but I haven't committed the ultimate sin of picking up a drink of the drug. I've stayed, you know. I don't know, you know, people know what I don't know what will happen, you know. I've never thought, and I'm one of these addicts as well, I've got to tell you, I've never thought about picking up a drink of the drug. How mad is that? How mad is that? The stuff that we get, the shit parcels that we get, and we don't want to use, and the joyful things we get. You know, when I get joy, you know, and I get lots of joy. I want more. But anyway, I want to thank you for listening to me this morning and helping me to stay clean and sober. Thank yous.